Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 13, where we see that God wants us to be found ready for His soon return. But the only way to be found ready is through His Spirit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1.
There. I'm not suggesting that this church is the church of Sardis, but I'm also suggesting this. We better examine ourselves. Because Jesus says to this church, to the naked eye that was thriving, He says, I know your works and your toil, your labor, which means they were doing things for God. They were busy for God. That's why I'm getting sobered by this and convicted by this. He says this. He says, I know these things. I see these things. And I also know that you got a name. You got a reputation. But here's my evaluation. You're dead. You got a name that you're alive, that you're busy, that you're booming. He says, here's the deal, though. I see you as this. You're dead. What you got going on there is not legitimate. What you got going on there is not real. I don't recognize what it is that you're doing, the movement that you're making. Here's why. Because your reputation is not a reality. So here's my advice to you, Jesus says, to this church. He says, my advice to you is to wake up, to watch, He says, and to strengthen that which remains. And that's kind of where we are this morning. We're at that place, man, where He is calling us to wake up and to strengthen what remains, because we're waiting for our bridegroom to come still, and there's still opportunity before that door gets shut for those who are legitimate to enter in with Him and for those who are not to be rejected. And while that opportunity remains, we better do three things. Number one, get saved. And number two, get sealed, which is simultaneous to getting saved. If I get saved and I come to Jesus, I get sealed, Ephesians 1 says, with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ that He relied upon for all of His earthly ministry to do what He did. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead enters in me and dwells within me and seals me till the day that Jesus calls me home. That here is the difference maker of who goes with the groom and who doesn't. The ones that go have the oil. Oil in Scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit. They have what it takes to light the lamps. What good is a lamp? What good is a torch if there's no oil to light it? You're walking around with that thing, carrying it in vain. You know what a lamp represents in Scripture? The Word of God. I can give you the Word of God. At the end of service, Mike can hand you a new believer's Bible. You could have the Word of God. You can walk around the church carrying it, quoting it, talking about it, looking like everybody else that's here. But here's the deal. Only God can give the oil. Do you understand that this morning? I can give you the Word of God. That's all that I do is give the Word of God. But only God Himself can give the person the oil. And it's something that only God can give that no man can share. There are things in life that we can't share, and that's the Holy Spirit. I can't share my salvation with you. I can't give my salvation to my children and say, that's good enough. You'll get into the kingdom through that. I can't tell my wife, hey, babe, I'm not only a Christian, but I'm a pastor that preaches the Word every single week. That's going to cover you. You're good to go. Just glide. Go in neutral and come with me. It's got to be life to her. It's got to be real to her. And it's got to be real to you, too. We can put the Word up on the screen. We can hand it to you in every version that's available. You can know it and quote it yourself. But if you don't have the oil of God's Spirit, you've got nothing. That's the difference of who goes. That's the difference of who's found ready. It's not a performance thing. It's not like He said that He came and five of the virgins were cleaning the house and reapplying their makeup and checking to make sure that everything was perfect, and the other five were sleeping, so they're condemned because they're sleeping. That's not what the message is. It's not these five were doing these good things, and these good things outweighed these five's bad things because they're morons. That's not the message. It's simply who had the oil and who didn't. So I'm going to ask you point blank. There's nothing spectacular or phenomenal about these points this morning. They're fundamental in their base. Are you saved and are you sealed? Because if you're saved, you're sealed. How do you know if you're sealed? Well, how's your relationship with God? Those who do not have the oil are going to come to the door of the groom's house. They're going to knock. He's going to open. They're going to say, can we come in? He's going to say, I don't know you. If you're sealed with the Spirit of God, you know God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that those who have the Spirit of God within them, that they are sons and daughters of adoption. And they no longer call God, God. They no longer look at him as some revered, distant, far off one that they cannot reach. They actually change their language to Abba, Father, which means daddy in the English. They have such an intimacy and such a closeness with God now that the formality of him being just some distant, angry being, past outer space, holding a lightning bolt in his hand, waiting for me to mess up here on earth, is removed. And now it's this. You're no longer just that, although I do see you as one that should be respected with the utmost respect, but you are my dad in heaven. And the way that you love Jesus, you love me, the Bible says, John chapter 17. So now I'm still with the Spirit of God, and I'm being changed. So now I'm being changed. So, like, let's say this. I get done preaching the sermon, and I just blow it. I just bomb it. I blow it. I do terrible. And some of you come up to me afterwards, and you start telling me you really shouldn't be a pastor. You're not very good at delivering the word of God, and I don't really get what you're trying to say. And in fact, I don't even know if you're a Christian. You don't really seem like you're even a Christian based on how you look and everything else. You don't even seem like you're a Christian. Listen, you might be able to get me on the first thing. You'll never be able to get me on the second thing. Nobody can talk me out of if I'm saved or not, because I know that I walk with Jesus intimately. I know that I talk with him. I know that he talks to me, that he speaks to me through his word. And when you have that type of a relationship and you close that gap, that barrier by his Spirit, nobody can talk you out of that. You know that you know, and here's how you know, because old things pass away and everything becomes new. You've got a new nature, you've got new desires, and he changes you from the inside out. And if that's not happening in your life, then I question, do you have the Spirit? Because when you have the Spirit of God, and you're being filled with the Spirit of God and not drunkenness and the things of this world, you start to change and become more like him. In fact, whatever your master passion is what you become like. Whatever your master passion is what your God is, and whoever or whatever your God is who you become like. And if you have the Spirit of Jesus living within you, he challenges you and he changes you and he convicts you and he molds you and he shapes you into his image. So now you're not the same person anymore. People don't recognize you. They want to do things. They want to say things. They want to be a part of things that you used to be in on. And now it's like, I don't have a desire for it. I don't have the appetite that I once had for those things. God's changing me. Do you understand that this morning? This is not my message. This is not my creed. This is not my curriculum. This is not something that's been handed me and told by a hierarchy that I'm to teach. This is the living word of God, and it's what Jesus spoke. It's so severe that he says this, 5 entered, 5 didn't, and it was simply predicated upon who had the oil. In other words, let me break it down. It's like this, who's a possessor and who's a professor? What are you this morning? Are you just a professor? I go to Calvary Chapel. There's a lot of people that are attending that church. It seems to be growing, slow and steady, which is the good kind of growth that you want. And there's got a school going on. They got a kids program, and the pastor teaches the word of God. They've got lamps everywhere. Lamps, lamps, lamps everywhere. There are lamps in every translation, the back of the room, the bookstore. They got a cafe. They got everything going on at that church. I go there. I'm like these people. I fit in. And nobody would know different because everybody looks pretty much the same. Nobody stands out to me in this room this morning. Nobody here looks, I would never, with my naked eye, be able to tell who's a possessor and who's a professor. I wouldn't know, because even some people that are professors will raise their hand, but they're not really raising that to God. They're raising their hand, they're swaying to the beat of the music because it's good. And moralists will agree, and people will call themselves Christian by default. I'm a Christian because I'm not a Mormon, because I'm not a Jehovah Witness, because I'm not a Muslim, and I'm American. So, of course, being an American means I'm a Christian. And there's this professing, 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 and there's this name, and there's this reputation, but is there a reality? So I've been doing some self-evaluation this week with our church, with myself, and I've been terribly convicted. I take what Jesus said to the church of Sardis seriously. Hey, you might have a name and you might have a reputation, but I'm telling you that there are things in your life that are ready to die. And I'm telling you and I'm charging you and I'm encouraging you to strengthen that which remains. So for me, it's like this. God, I've got this lamp and I certainly have the oil. But is the oil running low? And is my lamp, is that fire starting to flicker? And do I need the flask of God's hand of the Holy Spirit to be poured back out of my life again so that I'm shining brighter and bigger than ever before. In other words, what I'm saying is this, Lord, is my reputation and my name what I'm standing on more than my reality in this season of life? Even more so like this, God, has there ever been a season where I shined brighter, where I loved you greater, where I was used more? And you want to know what I feel? Yeah, there has. For me, that's what I feel. I'll just use myself as an example, as I've used our church as an example. I'll make it all personal, and I hope you do the same. For me, it's like this. There is a season that I could look back at where I was more passionate about God. There was a season in my preaching, if I go back and listen to the archives, which I would never do, but if I did, I guarantee it, because I can recall certain messages I was preaching. I couldn't even finish speaking. I had tears flowing down my eyes. There was a season where I look back at where there was a greater passion for God. There was a season where I can look back at, and I would say things that I don't know if I would say them right now, or I would hesitate to say them, because you might say, well, you've matured, and you might say, well, you've understood how to be a little bit more politically correct, and I would tell you that's to my detriment. I would tell you that there was such a love for God and such a love for people's eternity that there was a point in my ministry where I didn't care about what anybody else thought. And now I wonder sometimes, God, is there ever that? I have to self-evaluate. Is there ever that, you know, that in the back of my mind that creeps in when I'm preaching because I know more? I know more politically. I know more practically. I know more in every realm. Of course I do. It's been almost a decade of doing this. Is there things now, God, that I don't say, that I choke on, I swallow back down, that you never hear? Because I might be a little bit more concerned what you think. I got to maintain this. I first started getting up early on Saturday mornings, the one day I didn't get up early, because I longed for God. I wanted to meet with God because I was constantly giving out. I still wake up on Saturday mornings early to seek God. I haven't slept in I don't know how long. And you know something? I feel like the Holy Spirit said this to me. Hey, do you do this still because you want to meet with me? Or are you doing this to get something from me for the people? So I look at this message, and I'm terribly convicted. I look at this message, and as God blesses and honors and does whatever he wants to do here, that we keep it real. That we keep it real. It's all about Jesus. It's not about anything else. It's all about that he saved me and that he saved you. He literally plucked us from hell, and he set our feet upon the rock, that he gave us new purposes, new desires, new passions, that he's changing us. He's changed us, he's changing us, and he'll change us all the way home. He's making us more like Jesus. He's put his spirit within us, his precious spirit. Do we care, or do we trample on him? His spirit is with us, wooing us, drawing us closer to the Lord. How do we feel about that? Do we drag the Holy Spirit into our sin and grieve him and quench him and grieve him and quench him? Or do we honor him? I don't know if the Holy Spirit still preached anymore. I don't know what churches are doing. I'm serious. I don't know. I'm not being facetious and I'm not being sarcastic. I legitimately don't know if the Holy Ghost is being preached. He is the blessed third person of the Trinity. Listen, he's got feelings. He's not just some phantom spirit that we speak about. He's the third person of the Godhead, the triune Godhead. And he is with us in this world. Before we even get saved, he's convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's got a hard job. He's been doing this in Pentecost some 2,000 years. And then when every person gets saved, when they get signed, the adoption papers get signed by Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ, he seals every individual. And he opens God's word to us. And he makes sense of things. And he gives us new desires. And he convicts us. You know, when you do something wrong, you feel convicted. And it's not just a conscious thing like Pinocchio. It's not just that type of a thing. It's like a conviction where you are aware that you have hurt the heart of the living God. Like, he does all of that. What do you do with him? Do you trample on him? Do you stifle him? Do you ignore him? Or do you honor him? And do you keep saying, fill me afresh. My fire is going out. Pour your flask from heaven back on my life of holy oil and set me ablaze for you, God. Because that's the difference maker. So, like, if I'm doing things that are anti-biblical, something's wrong. If I'm calling myself a Christian because I got a reputation, because I'm Pastor Dave. Listen, I go somewhere, I can't go anywhere. I go somewhere, my son's football game, Wegmans, the gym. It is Pastor Dave. At my gym, I put humongous earphones on that cover my whole side of my face. Honest to God. And I put a hood up, even in the summertime, so that I can just try to get a workout in quickly. Pastor Dave. And it's constant. And before Dave proceeds the term pastor, and I'm honored by it. It's an amazing privilege. I've got a reputation. You do this with yourself here this morning. I'm using myself because I can, because I'm a mess apart from the grace of God. I got this reputation. Pastor Dave, Calvary Chapel, Spenceport, Union Street. Yeah, that place there, the stucco place that's sideways. Why is it sideways? You know, this whole thing, just we've got this thing going on here. And I can go on that, I can go on that, and go on that. And I got to step back and I say, God, but is there things in my life, forget the reputation, the reality, God, are there things in my life that are contradictory to you and your holy word and your nature that are ongoingly taking place? Because if so, I got a problem. I don't care what my reputation is. I don't care what people say or think of me and how passionate I am when I preach. It means nothing if the Holy Spirit of God is not bubbling forth from my life onto everyone around me. So I'm just asking you this morning that you would do the third and final thing here. And it's this: get serious. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're sealed. They're synonymous. They go together. Listen, thirdly and finally, get serious. Be serious about your walk with Jesus. Be serious so that you are found ready when the trumpet sounds and you hear those words, not come out and meet me on the street, but come up hither and meet me in the air. Because after we meet him in the air, the door of heaven, so to speak, is shut. And the opportunity is lost. So what I'm doing then is, I'm not going to try to be a salesman right now. I'm not going to try to be clever and manipulate. I'm straight up asking you to change your mind. If you're going the opposite direction of Jesus Christ, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life, who is the narrow way that leads to eternal life, I'm straight up asking you right now, with everything in my being, to change your mind. Because the road that you are on is broad and it is wide, but it leads to hell. Change your mind. God permits U-turns. Why he tarries, why there's opportunity. He says, you got a name, but you're dead. You carry a Bible, you talk about God. You don't know him. You don't know him. You don't know him. You might have met him. You might have been introduced to him. He might be your parents' God, your spouse's God, your children's God. You don't know him. And why there's opportunity to change your mind, do it. So then not only are you saved, not only are you sealed, but you are serious and you will be found ready and you will not be left behind, says Jesus. Because he's coming again. And everything changes. Everything changes. When you're serious and you're found ready, worship team, would you come? When you're serious and you're ready, he's so gracious. You know that? He's so gracious. Listen to me, please. I need you for 5 more minutes and I'll let you go. Please listen to me. When I say to you, get serious, I don't mean get stupid. We're not entering some sports event or a physical fight like we think about when we're serious and passionate, like where we hype ourselves up and we hit ourselves and we jump around and, you know, we bump into each other and get crazy. I don't know what you girls do, but, you know, guys, you know, you do these things, right? And that's emotion, that's hype. It will do nothing for you. When I'm talking about serious, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about plug into the grace of God. Check it out. 5 virgins were ready, 5 were not. 5 in Scripture is the number of grace. The only way that you and I are going to be ready for our groom to come is by grace. And it's doing this. When I say be ready and be serious, I'm saying this. Every time you falter, which is every day for me, and every time you do something that you wish you didn't do, or you did something that you wish you didn't do, and you mess up, you just keep it real with Jesus. Not nonchalantly, not cheap grace. This is not cheap. It was so expensive. But free grace. God sits on a throne of grace. And just coming to him, keeping, closing the gaps, short accounts. God, I just thought that thing again. I just did that thing again. I just went there again. I just participated this thing again. God, and I know your word says this was wrong, and I agree with what you say about this. Please forgive me. Fill me afresh with the oil of gladness so I can keep marching till you call me home. That's what being serious is, actually giving a hoot about the Holy Spirit. Actually caring in contemplating that this could offend Almighty, all holy God who resides within me, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go there. This is the one who died for me and redeemed me. And when he comes, I want to be found ready. Because the greatest insult is this: an indifferent bride. An indifferent bride. The groom comes to get her, to meet her, and she's just like, whatever. I'm not ready. My hair's not done. I didn't do my nails. Didn't get, after that long winter, a pedicure, calluses everywhere. Didn't even shave my legs. Nothing's ready for you at all. That'd be so offensive. It'd be so insulting to the groom who's been waiting. I'm not trying to be that type of bride for Jesus Christ. I want to be found ready. I want to be found ready and serious about what he has called me to, till the trumpet sounds and we go home to be with him. If I'm preaching to anybody today, if I'm preaching to anybody who feels the same, doesn't want to just have a name but is really dead, doesn't just want a reputation but wants a reality, wants to know that they are signed, sealed, and ready to be delivered, would you just stand up so I can pray for you and ask Jesus to fill you, if that's you? If you're in this room, you already know Christ. He's already your Savior. You just want to be filled afresh so that you could be found ready. Would you just stand? This is for people who believe in Jesus, people who love Jesus, who have come to Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person that's standing this morning. We could do this every week because it never gets old. We are leaky and we are needy. So I ask you that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill us with the oil of gladness so that when you come, when you call us to meet you in the air, we would be found ready.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right ahead.